Hey everyone, my name is Aiden and I got something new for you. From 80s Korean to Taiwanese shoegaze and Japanese Vocaloid, I'll be curating you to the deepest corners of the East Asian music scene. At Warigari on CFRC 101.9 FM, music never stays in one place for long. I'll see you Monday, 3 p.m. 다음에 또 만나요. I'll see ya.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Katarokwe on Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee land.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Campus Beat. I'm Dinah Jansen. In today's program, we are chatting with Queen's University Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale and each of the 2026 Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award winners. The Tricolor Award and induction to the Tricolor Society is the highest tribute that can be paid to a Queen's University student for distinguished service, leadership, character, and community impact during their time at Queen's. On February 19th, 2026, Rector Boychuk-Hale announced this year's Tricolor Award recipients, recognizing their outstanding contributions and enduring impact on the Queen's University community. Today, we're chatting first with the rector about the awards and then sitting down with each inductee into the Tricolor Society, Emile Matisse, Bisola Olasheni, Oluwamasimi Olawole, and Daniel Reddy. We hope you enjoy our conversations with each of these outstanding individuals. Thank you for joining us. Nikki, welcome back to CFRC. It's always a pleasure having you on the airwaves with us. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Nikki, you are the rector at Queen's University, but you're also a student, too. Let's learn a little bit about you and your program of study and what you're doing at Queen's outside of rectorship.
Yes, I think by now I'm an expert student because I have been a Queen's student since 2019. So I'm in my seventh year, but I'm in my third degree of study. So I'm currently doing a Master of Education right now, and I'm studying the implementation of the Ontario Indigenous Studies curriculum.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And now, outside of your studies, you are the current Queen's University Rector, the third highest office at Queen's University. Huge role. Tell us a little bit more about the rectorship. What is this office? What does your office do? What's the day-to-day?
Yeah, so I do have the privilege of serving and leading the students of Queen's University is how I like to articulate it. And it involves a lot of things. I find myself in interesting places and on interesting files that I never thought I would ever be learning about, just the nature of university. So much goes on here. So it's really expanded my horizons and awareness of niche situations. I would say that there's a lot of ceremonial roles for the rector, like convocation, and I'm on a lot of award committees, and I oversee the Tricolor Award. And then there's a lot of other responsibilities, like the Board of Trustees. I attend Senate, the AMS Assembly, the SUS Council. So I'm really involved in every nook and cranny of governance at Queen's, which really is my passion. And then I would say the only predictable thing about my job is that it's going to be unpredictable. So students coming in and needing help and support navigating university policies or systems, or they need advice or a hand with a predicament they may be facing. And so I help address those. And then I also take that insight and notice the trends and the reoccurring issues and bring that to my meetings with the principal or the provost or whoever the administrator may be that I'm meeting with that day.
And now, tell us about some of the proudest accomplishments that you've had during your term of office for the last couple of years.
Yeah, what a good question and a great opportunity to reflect and slow down a little bit. I'd say there are a few different things, but just to like really quickly run it off, the Student Leader Development Conference was a huge passion project of mine that we've been able to run twice now, and we're planning for the third year. So I'm very proud that we were able to gather a group of, now it's been two cohorts of student leaders from the AMS, the SPS Senate, the board, different areas around campus to have a really intensive day with some very accomplished leaders in public and private sectors. And I'm really excited that we're going to continue the work and keep improving it. The second thing I'm really proud of is the office's work with communications and engagement when it comes to students and awareness of the office. Being back in the JADEC and physically having my office be literally in the center of the Student Life Center is really wonderful, and I love all the drop-bys I get. We've also really harnessed social media, and I've started using mass emails. I discovered one day that I can send out emails to all students, so I've been taking advantage of that. Continuing my monthly column in the Queen's Journal, it's called Rector's Digest, and different events around campus. So I'm really proud of that communications engagement aspect, and then also just the support and the advocacy work I'm able to do one-on-one or in small groups with students. It's things that I can never talk about publicly, but I'm really proud of the grounds we've been able to make there in improving some student experiences. And there's obviously always work to be done, and all of that is possible because I've been able to hire students to work in my office and to support all of these initiatives, and I'm very, very proud of them.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful learning about you and your role and the wonderful achievements you and your team have made over the last couple of years. But the scope of our project and our episode here today, we're chatting with four students, outstanding students at Queen's University, who are now entering the Tricolor Society. They have won the Tricolor Award for 2026. I wonder, before we chat about those students and actually air the conversations that we've had with them, I wonder if you can tell us, and not only campus members, but also community members here in the Kingston and area, tell us a little bit more about the Tricolor Awards, the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Awards. What are these awards?
Yeah, great question. So the Tricolor Award, like you said, is named after our former Chancellor Agnes Benedictson. She was our first woman to hold the role of Chancellor, and was a huge supporter and advocate and influence at Queen's University for a number of years. So much so, she has a house, a field, and an award named after her. The Tricolor Award is the highest non-academic award that a student can receive. It's for distinguished character, leadership, and community impact. And one of the greatest parts about it is students are nominated by peers, and the selection committee is made up of peers. So it's peers, choosing which peers will receive the award every year, and the rector is the chair of the committee. I don't get a vote, but I facilitate the whole process, and it's quite the thing to be a part of. Every year, something new, new things happen, and there's a new round of students every year, and it's an honor to be able to meet all of the students who receive an interview. We interview 10 students, so the nominations happen, and the selection committee reviews all the packages. And for the sake of time, we have to cut it down a bit, so we interview the top 10 scoring nominees and spend a whole weekend meeting with them, talking with them, learning about why they've done the things they've done at Queen's, and about who they are as people and what inspires them, and all of those lovely things. And it's really, really a wonderful, busy, full weekend. The selection committee, I'll also say, is made up of one student from every faculty has a seat. And so we have a lot of diversity in experiences and viewpoints. there, which is really, really helpful to understand, because any student, undergrad, graduate, professional, can be nominated for the award. And it is given out by myself alongside the principal and the chancellor.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing and providing some insights on how the selection process also works too. So I wonder if now we can learn a little bit more about the winners for this year. There are four of them. Can you shed some light on each of the four laureates?
Yes, of course. And I will say that I get to call, the selection committee does all the hard work, and then I get to call the recipients. And I always say, like, those are the best phone calls I make all year. And maybe this year, if I have it together, I will record them, because their reactions are really priceless. And so I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time getting to know them better, because they are such fabulous individuals and representatives of our university. So, in order of the alphabet by last name is kind of how we introduce them to the world. So I'll follow suit. The first individual is Emil. He is a PhD student right now at Queen's, but he's been around for a long time. And I'm sure CFRC listeners have maybe heard about him, because he was the SGBS president last year. He served on the Senate for a number of years, and he's been a steady and persistent advocate for students, and has brought a lot of dialogue with the administration over a number of years about really key issues for undergraduate students, and most recently graduate students, when it comes to financial aid and awards and funding. He helped us cross the finish line when it comes to the JADUC redevelopment project and a number of other great initiatives Emil has had a really big helping hand in. The next individual is Basola. She is in the Faculty of Health Sciences. She's an undergraduate student, and she has been a huge support when it comes to admissions and recruitment in a few different ways. One is the obvious one, as an equity ambassador for the recruitment department. And she's really changed the game when it comes to inclusive practices and making really supportive programming for equity deserving students. She also has helped out when it comes to her faculty and supporting high school students. So she has been a coordinator for a summer program that the faculty runs, essentially getting students in Kingston, high school students, excited and engaged about the program and the prospect of applying, and really showing them, like, this is possible and this is a path that you can take. She's done a number of other positions around campus too. The next individual is Simi, and she is also from the Faculty of Health Sciences, and she's a nursing student. And again, like, all of these students have been involved in so many areas around campus. It's quite the task for me to write a bio that's like 130 words because of, you know, how big their nomination packages were. But one of the key things that I would highlight about Simi is that she co-founded a sickle cell awareness group for Ontario, and led an initiative simulation for Queen's students in the Faculty of Health Sciences, which has had really important real life implications for healthcare education. And also, as you know, these students take their education and they go out into the real world into practice. And so improving patient care experiences and outcomes there. And last but not least is Dan, who is a PhD student as well in the Department of Chemistry. And Dan is known to a lot of people as a mentor and advocate. And one of the key areas that the selection committee noted for receiving the award is that he not only founded the student chapter of the American Chemical Society. He was able to secure with his team over $50,000 that is used for awards and funding for travel to conferences and other academic pursuits. And Dan has found the issue of accessibility for students in accessing these types of things, especially in grad school, and is addressing it by creating these opportunities for grants and awards for students. So that's the quick spark notes of all of these amazing individuals.
So, what advice might you have? I've asked this of each of the laureates. What advice do you have for students out there listening right now about how to get more involved in campus life and whether that's leadership or extracurricular contributions? What would you have to say to them as a leader in the Queen's community?
Yeah, and I get asked this too by students wanting to get involved. And my answer might be a cliche, but I would say follow your heart and your passions. And if you're not exactly sure what your calling is, there's no harm in trying out different areas. As you will see from the Tricolor recipients and just the Tricolor Society at large, is they're all involved in different ways and different capacities and at different scales. So there's individuals like Dan and Simi, who are really involved within their specific department or faculty. And then there's individuals like Emil and Basola, who are involved at a different scale when it comes to the larger student body or the department of recruitment. So there's no right or wrong way. And there's the thing that I love about Queens is you really can make the experience what it is. And there's a niche area for you no matter what you're interested or passionate about.
Wonderful advice. Thank you very much for that. And now, before we wrap up together today, Nikki, maybe you can give us some insights about what's happening for the Tricolor Awards Gala itself. Do we have any knowledge of that that you can share with us?
Yeah, we're very excited about it. It's happening on March 27th, and the Tricolor Society and former rectors all get invites to come back. So it's a little bit of a reunion in some ways, but the stars of the show, the recipients, get to invite their family and friends, and the senior leadership team will come and celebrate their accomplishments. And there'll be remarks from myself and the principal and the chancellor, who has a really great story and connection to Agnes Benedictsson that she shares. And then we always call one member of the Tricolor Society alumni to speak and formally welcome the newest inductees. So this year, we've called upon Mike Young, who also was a rector. So we have that in common, and we're really looking forward to having him speak up front too.
Oh, it'll be nice to see Mike back on campus again. That's fantastic news and very exciting that the upcoming event. Thank you so much. Anything else to add before we wrap up?
No, just my immense gratitude to all of the nominees, everyone who nominated an individual or wrote a letter for the package. I know that it's a tremendous amount of work, and equally huge thank you to the student selection committee that dedicated so much time to the process and took it very, very seriously. And we're really looking forward to celebrating everyone soon.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us, folks. We have been chatting with Queen's University Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale all about the Tricolor Awards happening in March. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you again, and have a great rest of term.
Thank you. I'm going to hop over to a board meeting now. Not as exciting.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
And coming up in this segment, we're chatting with Emil Matiz, a driven doctoral student in the Center for Neuroscience Studies, currently serving as the Graduate Student Trustee. Matiz has championed key issues including graduate funding, the completion of the JDUC redevelopment project, and timely support for Ukrainian international students. Matiz is widely recognized for his collaborative, solution-focused leadership style, effectively bridging dialogue among student groups, faculty, and the administration. Thank you so much, Emil, for joining us, and congratulations on your tricolor win this year.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
All right. So, Emil, can you tell us about yourself and your program of study here at Queen's?
Sure. So I often describe myself as a generalist in a specialized world. I love learning new skills, trying new hobbies, whether that's beekeeping, brewing beer, life drawing, cooking, or exploring other cultures through language or cuisine. I'm deeply curious about things, how they work, and that's ultimately what led me to graduate studies. So here at Queen's, I'm a doctoral student at the Center for Neuroscience Studies, CNS for short, where I'm supervised by Dr. Gunnar Blom. Before my studies at Queen's, I completed a double degree in computer science and business at Wilfrid Laurier University. And here, my research focuses on motor cortical microsurgery. So, you know, the way that neurons are connected in the brain, how those connections allow us to generate and control movement. And then I work within computational neuroscience, which is a wonderful interdisciplinary intersection of biology, computer science, math, philosophy, which is, I think, very aligned with my generalist identity, even though a PhD is the epitome of specialization.
Thank you so much for that. And now let's learn a bit about your campus leadership and your extracurricular activities.
Sure. So starting with the leadership piece, I've been deeply involved with governance at Queen's since starting my graduate studies here. I started with being involved with local department leadership at the CNS, and then I was twice elected to Senate as the graduate student senator, where I served on several committees. I chair the Student Senate Caucus, which is where we coordinate all the student senators, helping them understand the procedures, prepare strategically together, just trying to get our collective influence, ironed out and make sure that everyone can participate meaningfully and confidently in governance. So that gave me a strong foundation of how things at Queen's works. And then I thought, what was next? And I decided to run for SGPS president. I served for a year last year, and that kind of gave me the next challenge to move from governance into operational leadership, responsible for looking after the SGPS, the team that we had. And there I learned about the many programs and services graduate students rely on, how they function. So, health and dental, the funding structures, food and security initiatives, student advising, a whole bunch of programming and relationships with senior administration. And that gave me an understanding of what students experience day to day, but also how we deliver that experience from the university and SGPS side. So as the final chapter in that arc, I decided to run for graduate student trustee. I spoke with my predecessor, Devin Fowley, and he said that it feels like a little bit of a shock that you've been so involved, and then all of a sudden, in one day, you become irrelevant. So I decided to carry the experience I had gained throughout the years, and I ran for a graduate student trustee. And I now sit on the University Board of Trustees, where one of the committees I'm on is the University Culture Committee. So that's, we look at the institutional culture, equity, inclusion, community well-being, and the student experience. And that's what I'm really excited about, is because not only am I coming with the experience of a graduate student with that perspective, but also as someone who's previously been responsible for delivering so much of these services that graduate students rely on. So it's here that I bring my perspective, and I can speak to how some board level decisions ripple into student experience in very practical ways.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for that. And now, what has motivated you overall, Emil, to be so involved and invested in campus life, particularly representing graduate students?
Well, for me, I think it started when I joined my master's program, which was fall 2020, so right in the middle of COVID. We've all wiped that from our memories, like a distant event. But of course, those times were very isolating and challenging for everybody. And then particularly for graduate students, where graduate studies can already be so isolating, it was quite a stark contrast from the pre-COVID to the COVID realities. And a small group of my classmates, we made an extra effort to have, you know, socially distanced park meetings, and we really appreciated the community that we're building, and that motivated me to join the student leadership committee, which we had at the CNS. And we decided, instead of waiting for normal to return, we'd build the community ourselves. And we organized virtual socials, even a remote brownie baking session. We did, packaged and distributed all the ingredients and had everyone bake with us on Zoom. We also learned eventually that nobody wanted anything to do with Zoom anymore at one point. So it's a continuously evolving exercise. And that was my aha moment that, you know, institutions don't exist as these inherent structures, and they don't automatically create community and culture. The people do. So you can either wait for something to be fixed, or you can work on it, which is what I aspired to do. And as I mentioned before, then I ran for graduate student senator and got involved in other ways as well.
Amazing. Thank you. So I wonder if you have any advice for other students out there who may wish to get more involved in campus leadership and extracurricular activities.
So the great reality here is that Queen's has so many opportunities. I was just looking today at the club's directory. I think there's more than 300. Departments often have several different opportunities, either intra-specific groups or governance structures that students can join. I mean, we have trivia night at the grad club. Queen's has the highest number, if not, I think, the highest number of student seats on governance structures like Senate. So the opportunities are there, and they're easy to find looking on websites, AMS, SGPS, and others. But advice more broadly, I'll share some of the things that I was told maybe during some of my mentorship. Start before you feel ready, because you're probably not going to feel ready until you start doing what you're doing. And even then, the confidence and experience, or rather the confidence of the skills, come through experience and often through failure, which is the other piece that I was advised on, was to fail gracefully. You will get things wrong. You will misjudge situations. So be respectful, own your mistakes, learn from them. People often remember how you handle the failure more than the failure itself, I found. And what you get out of that failure depends on your attitude. So if you don't take stock of what happened and what you can do better next time, you're missing out on that growth. But that doesn't mean that you have to jump right into the deep end and fail in a very spectacular way. You can start small. You know, join something that exists. Look at the clubs that are out there before founding your own. Use that as the opportunity to gain skills. Learn how the systems work. Failure can be expensive, so, you know, really do your research. What has worked before? What hasn't? Why? And I mean, if you're looking for leadership and governance, the power really lies in procedure, not volume. So make sure you understand the system and how it works. And then with advocacy, I've found that change happens by unity. So how can we get everyone together on the same page, understand the perspectives? It's a lot more powerful to speak to unity rather than to division and to criticism.
So before we wrap up, though, Emil, I wonder what your thoughts were when you learned that you had, in fact, won a Tricolor Award.
Yeah, I mentioned to you earlier, I'm currently writing my comprehensive exams. So I was completely in the thick of it. My phone flagged a call as spam, but I noticed it was a 613 number, so I picked it up. And I'm happy I did. That was Nikki. She told me I won, and I was half in shock. It didn't really register immediately. And then throughout the day, I just kept feeling gratitude for all of the opportunities and the mentorship that I've received that have enabled me to work on the fantastic things that I'm proud of, that I've achieved, but also that I've achieved as a team in various different capacities on campus. So I'm just so honored that I was selected among such a tremendous pool of individuals that were nominated.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Emil, for joining us, and a hearty congratulations to you, and best wishes on your comps and continued studies and all the other wonderful things you're involved in at Queen's. Well done, you.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
And thank you to Emil for joining us. Up next, we are chatting with Bisola Olasheni, a dedicated Bachelor of Health Sciences student who uplifts and inspires others with her unwavering commitment to access and mentorship. As Lead Equity Ambassador for Undergraduate Admissions and Recruitment, the coordinator for the Queen's Health Science Outreach and Summer Program, and a research assistant, she has championed inclusive practices and crafted supportive programs that affirm diverse student voices at Queen's. Bisola, thank you for joining us. Huge congratulations on your tricolor win.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, welcome to CFRC. We'd love to hear about you and your program of study right here at Queen's University.
All right. As Dinah has said, my name is Bisola. I'm in my fourth year of the health sciences program at Queen's. And yeah, I think that was the question. Okay. Anything else you want me to add?
No, it's all right. So,
okay.
So tell us about your campus leadership and extracurricular activities.
All right. So as many people know, there's a lot that I do. But honestly, I'm going to start with what I'm doing currently and kind of just go a little bit backwards. So I've found myself in spaces where I'm mostly a mentor or a senior mentor who is helping other people learn and grow, and then helping them be mentors to other students, which are mostly high school students and of recent elementary school students, which is really, really great. I think what I've kind of gotten myself into and gotten involved in has gone past Queen's University, has gone into Kingston, the Kingston community, because I now work with high school students who are interested in health sciences programs. Not just that, but also high school students in general in Ontario, you know, in Canada, who want to, or equity deserving. So that's not just racially, but also maybe with like lower socioeconomic status, you know, different types of abilities and things like that. And they want to pursue post-secondary, but they don't have the mentorship or they're lacking the information. So those barriers that, you know, hinder them from accessing these things. And so as an equity ambassador, that's where I'll start. It's kind of my longest running role. I've been able to go out into these spaces, into Ontario University's Fair, to community partners in Toronto, in Ottawa, in Kingston, and bring high school students to Queen's, show them around, tell them about how what it's like to be an equity deserving student at Queen's University, how I got here, you know, just detail the steps so they have someone to always reach out to and ask these questions to. And it's been so fulfilling, like seeing students go from, oh, I saw you at OUF, to now I'm in my first year of Queen's University. And many times these students did not want to come to Queen's because of what they saw, right? Like lack of representation, saying, oh, I might not fit in here. But then now they see us and they're like, wow, I can come here. So that's, I would say, my most fulfilling role. And then the one with Kingston High School students specifically who are interested in health sciences, we do a monthly workshop, hands-on with experts in the field from different health sciences fields. And then they do a workshop, they talk about how they got there. And then students are able to see themselves in those spaces. For example, like nursing, ophthalmology, radiology, you know, different paramedics, different spaces. And so those are my two main ones with high school students. Recently, we had one where elementary school students came to Queen's and they did a lot of hands-on health sciences workshops. So just to sum that up, is a lot of things with students. I'm realizing that I think I might be a voice for, you know, the next generation so they can, you know, see a path to follow. And I'm really, really loving it. I'm just so grateful that I've had all these opportunities. Otherwise, I've been in different clubs at Queen's. Coincidentally, they also work with equity-deserving high school students. For example, Queen's Black Medical Association. I was the conference director. We had a first youth future site conference at Queen's, and we had 40-plus equity-deserving students come to that conference and, you know, talk to medical students, talk to people from different fields, paramedics, doctors, and they were all so amazed that the fact that there's people who look like them in these fields, right? And also the Queen's Student Diversity Project, shout out. I was with that club for, I think, 2 years, and I became the president. And we really just ramped up our, you know, events to cater to the Queen's community. So let's show that there's diversity at Queen's. My favorite event was our culture night, where we had food from different cultures, music from different cultures, and then students came. And the best part of it was when I heard students talking, well, what do you think is in this food? And they were like, oh, it's this. I think it's from here. And it's like, oh, my God, this is so good. I want to try this again. So, yeah, I think it's just been around showing different cultures and helping equity-deserving students find their place and have mentorship and find community. I cannot forget to mention music. I love music. I sing. So I've been with Poco Poco since first year. Not anymore this year. I've passed that over. But we basically went into the community to perform. We have partnerships with Orgonada, which is a resource center for people who have developmental disabilities, and we performed for them, and it was so great, so fulfilling. And we had jam sessions where students who felt like they were getting overwhelmed at school, they would just come and jam with us. And it was kind of a way to step out of my identity as a health sciences student, all booksy, to someone who has, creativity and someone who is able to share with other people. I don't want to keep going on and on, but those are the main ones I remember right now. Residence Dawn, I cannot forget. First year students are amazing. I've done this for 2 years now. If you see any of my students that are outside, tell them hi because they're so great. I'm able to help them through, navigating first year and how to, feel involved, feel belonged, and, navigate those resources that will help them in second year and beyond. I'm sure I'm forgetting very important roles right now, but yeah, those are the main ones that come to my head. So thank you so much for the question.
Amazing. So, yeah, you are heavily invested in campus life. What has motivated you to do so?
I would say honestly, the first role that I got on campus was as an equity ambassador, and that was because I saw myself and other high school students who didn't have anyone to ask questions to, who felt like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I just want everything to be all right. And then they're obviously mostly equity-deserving high school students, especially Black students who didn't see themselves represented in different spaces. And then for them to see me at Queens, they were like, how did you get here? Like, what are you doing at Queens University, which has been termed a predominantly white institution for obvious reasons. And so I just wanted to be a representation for those students and, break informational and like mentorship barriers to accessing post-secondary spaces in general. And so that's where I found myself, with high school students, elementary school students, and also just increasing our awareness of diverse cultures and communities, and advocating for better policies at Queen's University for those communities. So, yeah, I think that would be the main reason, my motivation for, doing what I do.
Thank you very much. And do you have any advice for students out there who may wish to get involved in campus leadership and extracurricular activities, as you have?
Get a mentor. Get somebody to talk some sense into you or to help you figure out the jumble mumble in your head. And usually it's best if they've gone through what you've gone through and they have similar lived experiences. I'm not going to mention names, but I have had really great mentors and supervisors who have seen what I didn't see in myself and then put me out there. Like there used to be a point where a point in my life where I wasn't able to talk in public, where I was not confident. I didn't have any self-worth because of like, past experiences. And these people just said to me that you're a leader and we're gonna help you bring that out of you. Like, is this something you want to do? Yes. And they saw the way I spoke to students. They saw the way I was able to relate with people and, just be that bridge in communication, especially with like younger students. And they helped me bring that out. So if you want to get involved in something, find someone who you've seen that is in that space and who you look up to and tell them that I want to do this. Is there any way you could give me tips on how to do this? Could you help, supervise me in this? And usually they would help you make sense of it and it usually turns out well. So to cut the long story short, find a mentor.
Well, thank you very much for that sage advice. And I wonder what your thoughts were when you learned that you had, in fact, won a Tricolor Award this year.
Honestly, I when I got the call, my mind just went blank. I was like, "Are you sure? What about other people?" Because I was just honestly excited to share what I've been doing on campus with like a group of, people, right? And when I learned I won it, I was like, "Well, I guess what I was doing was making an impact, and these people saw it." So I was just really excited, really grateful, and yeah, now I'm gonna be in the tricolor, I forgot the word, society. And I'm very excited to, even use this as a mentorship opportunity for people because now I can, more people know about me and they can be like, oh, I want to go into medicine or I don't know how to get into health sciences. And yeah, I was just thinking of the future. So I'm very excited and thank you so much for the opportunity to everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Basola, for joining us, and a hearty congratulations to you. Best wishes on your studies and the path forward in your career.
Thank you so much. And I'm glad that you were able to listen to me yap a little bit on here.
We're so delighted to have you. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
And coming up in this segment, we are chatting with Oluwamah Simi Oluwole, a passionate nursing student whose leadership is rooted in advocacy, equity, and community building. She co-founded the Queen's Sickle Cell Awareness Group of Ontario and led a pioneering interprofessional simulation on sickle cell disease that has meaningfully impacted health education and patient care. Oluwole also creates spaces of belonging for Black students and strengthens the Queen's community. Welcome to CFRC, Simi. It's a real pleasure having you here, and congratulations on your tricolor.
Thank you.
Awesome. And so let's hear about yourself and your program of study at Queen's.
Okay, so I'm a fourth year nursing student at Queen's. A little bit about me. I think the people who know me, they know me as someone who's very involved in the Queen's community. I think I also really like to have a balance between the busy parts of my life and the quieter parts. So outside of school and my extracurriculars, I do love to read. So I always have some chapter of a book going. And I'm also really into plants. So I'm not going to pretend I'm a perfect plant parent, but I genuinely enjoy learning how to take care of them and watching them grow and having that little bit of greenery in my space. And also looking at my program, nursing has been great. It has been a great fit for me because it's both people-centered and also practical. And it has actually been a foundation for a lot of my passion in my involvement at Queen's, because it has pushed me to think beyond individual care and actually look at systems like who gets supported well, who gets overlooked, and what can I do to make these systems more equitable. And outside of academics, I've also been involved in as a teaching assistant and in education as a teaching assistant, and also recently got into developing simulation. So that has been fun. And I've also been privileged to be involved in research in the School of Nursing and School of Computing. I have a lot of interests that connect health, education, and equity. So I've had a space to do that in those two schools.
Amazing. Wow. Gee whiz. All right. So I'd love to hear now from you, Simi, about your campus leadership and some of the extracurricular activities you've been up to at Queen's through your time here.
Okay, so I'm involved in the Queen's community as a president of the Canadian Black Nurses Alliance at Queen's. I've also founded the Queen's chapter of the Sickle Cell Awareness Group of Ontario. I've been a mentor through Q Success for first year transitioning. And this has actually been one of the most grounding parts of my time here, because I remember what it's like struggling in first year and trying to figure things out. So being able to help other students navigate Queen's in a way that's, you know, very honest and practical, especially when the system feels overwhelming, has been very rewarding. I've also been involved in policy. So I serve in some Senate committees. So the Senate Committee for Academic Processes, and also a subcommittee on academic integrity, because I think it's important to ensure that students are represented in governance roles, and especially with policy. And I'm also involved as a cheerleader with the Queen's band. So that has been another exciting active part of my life. And yeah, those are just some snippets of things that I've been involved in at Queen's.
How wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And what has motivated you to be so involved and invested in campus life?
Thank you for that question. I would love to say that I'm like someone who is like extroverted, but actually I'm not. I'm quite introverted. But I think I've seen how much it makes, like how much difference it is when someone feels like they belong. So whether it's like in a classroom or a clinical setting or even in a student group. But I've also seen the opposite. So when students don't have access to mentorship, or where they don't feel represented, or they don't know how to navigate some of the systems and resources that we have in the university, they can end up feeling isolated, even if they look like they're doing fine on paper. And also with my personal experiences as a Black woman in healthcare spaces, I'm very well aware that
When we talk about equity, it doesn't happen automatically. And I've been fortunate and privileged to have people who have advocated for the systems that I benefit from now. And that taking from that is that I've learned that if we want better outcomes for patients and even students, someone has to do the work of building those structures that support people, and building them in such a way that it's not just once, but consistently, and it's sustainable. So a lot of my motivation actually comes from noticing these gaps and thinking, okay, so what can I do to bridge this gap and ensure that the gap keeps getting bridged? And personally, I've also developed a lot. I mentioned being introverted. I'd say I'm more ambiverted now because, being involved has shaped me. It has taught me how to communicate, how to work through conflict, how to collaborate with people who we may not share the same perspective or the same priorities, and how to stay grounded is also really important, even when it gets demanding.
Thank you so much. And I like how you talked about introversion here. I wonder if you have any advice for students out there, particularly those new students, first years, who are thinking about but aren't quite there yet when it comes to trying to get involved in campus life, extracurricular activities, and even leadership. What advice have you for them?
Thank you for that question. So I think my biggest advice would be curious, first of all. Be curious about the world around you. I know it might be hard trying to do that with having to juggle your academics and personal life. Another thing is start with what you care about. So if you choose your involvement based on meaning, it gets a little easier to stay committed and actually grow. And then to also keep asking yourself, what issues do I keep noticing? What issues have I passed across? What issue have I heard people around me talking about? And what communities do I want to support? And what kind of impact do I want to make that would feel genuine to me and the people that I'm working or working to support as well? And then secondly, don't wait until you feel ready. When I'm talking to my mentees, I talk about getting involved in first year and asking questions and feeling like a greenhorn. And these are all very valid feelings. Most people don't learn leadership by doing it. They start small as like a volunteer for a role, or they join a committee, or they show up at club events consistently. And this helps you kind of build that tenacity over time and even build trust over time, because at the core of it, consistency matters more than being perfect, because there's a lot of things happening that you really can't find that perfect time to start. There will always be other competing priorities. And then a third advice is mentorship. Mentorship is a really big part of who I am today. And I've also been able to give back as a mentor. Mentorship changed a lot for me. And because it helped me avoid burnout, and it helps me stay accountable. It reminds me of that I don't have to do everything alone, and that as I gain that experience and learn from others, I can become that person for someone else. And then lastly, be okay with starting behind the scenes, right? Some of the most important work aren't always public facing or aren't always huge and impressive, but they still shape the culture of our campus, from my experience. And I think there's a lot of value to be derived from those as well.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. And now, finally, Simi, what were your thoughts when you learned that you had, in fact, won a Tricolor Award?
Oh my God, I was so shocked. So it's actually a funny story because I was getting a call from a number that I hadn't seen before, but the name, the tagline in the name said Queen's Universit. It wasn't completely spelled, so I just assumed it was a spam number. And then because I tagged it as a spam number for like 3 days, I kept getting multiple calls, but it just kept getting screened. And then someone emailed me about, we would like to discuss the results of your Agnes Benedictsson interview. And I was like, oh my God, And then I looked and it was like so many missed calls, like almost like 50 missed calls. I was like, oh my God. So I called back and then they called me back and then they told me about the news and I was very grateful. And I even think that outside of being grateful and appreciative of the honor, it recognizes contribution to Queens community. And that's what hit me the most because a lot of the things that I've done has been quiet and long term and more individual, and a lot of the systems work don't show up immediately. And because of not having those like results that I can point to, I sometimes felt invisible. So hearing that the university saw it and valued it was very meaningful to me. A lot of the things that I've out also reflected on after winning this interview was how collaborative everything has been. So I might be the one being recognized, but none of the initiatives that I've been part of happened alone. There were students, mentors, programs, even the whole faculty of health sciences, and other community partners outside of Kingston and in Kingston who made that space. They gave feedback, they showed up to the events, and they helped build things with me. And personally, it was very affirming. And it was just another reminder that that sustained effort matters. And it is very, very important to consistently keep showing up.
Wow, thank you very much. Well, huge congratulations to you, Simi, on your tricolor win and all the very best in your continued studies at Queen's.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And coming up in this segment, we are chatting with Daniel Reddy, an inspiring PhD candidate in the Department of Chemistry, who is the founder of the Queen's University International Student Chapter of the American Chemical Society, or QACS. Reddy has been passionate about making opportunities accessible for peers and has led QACS in securing over $50,000 in funding and establishing over 30 awards, making it possible for students to pursue research and extracurricular initiatives. Daniel, congratulations on your win and thank you for joining us here on CFRC.
Absolutely. Thank you, Donna.
All right. So tell us about yourself and your program of study at Queen's.
So I'm a fifth-year PhD candidate in chemistry, specifically analytical chemistry, Department of Chemistry in the Faculty of Arts and Science. I'm been in Canada since 2021. I'm from the States. I did my bachelor's, master's there. It's just been great plugged in with the community here at Queen's.
Amazing. And now tell us about your campus leadership and extracurricular activities.
Sure. Been really fortunate to plug in a couple different ways. I've served on an SGPS committee or two. I'm on the grad council in the Faculty of Arts and Science. And then something I'm also proud of is my involvement with the Queen's University International Student Chapter of the American Chemical Society, QACS, for a bit of a shorter acronym. And that's something that started here in that I started here in the department.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. And what has motivated you to be so involved with life at Queen's University, campus life at Queen's University?
It's really been easy. I kind of just had this kernel of the idea, and then things really just, I guess it's appropriate, they snowballed. There's a lot of snow outside. People got involved, a lot of support. And it was really just sort of a fuel to the fire of, wow, people are buying in, they're getting involved, they're wanting to help drive this forward. I mean, we've started award programs in the department, cross-departmentally now. We have a annual, call it our celebration, sort of reception event. We bring, again, that's become cross-departmental. So it's really just been one big community effort that's been a lot of fun to see grow.
Thank you so much. And I wonder what advice you have to offer to other students who might want to also get involved in campus leadership and extracurricular activities and even starting initiatives like you've done.
Definitely. In terms of motivation for me, it was really I saw a bit of a need. So I like I mentioned, I'm from the States, did my sort of undergraduate chemical training there, worked for a bit. And the American Chemical Society, it's a global organization. It encompasses pretty much every country there is. It really brings together chemists, chemical engineers. So the name is a little bit misleading. But it operates at sort of the local chapter level. Again, there's the broader national, but it provides professional development opportunities, grants, conferences, awards, but you kind of have to have a chapter established. And I really just being in the States for my sort of formative training, I kind of just was all, it was always around. But then coming up here for graduate school, there really isn't. We're this, so our chapter here at Queen's is now the second chapter in Canada. But there really wasn't an established presence. And so I was like, wow, I'm aware of these resources that just by having this awareness, it could really benefit and bring new opportunities to the community that's been really receptive and welcoming to me. It was really just a sort of a giving opportunity, I felt like. And since then, it's really just kind of blossomed. And by way of advice, I mean, I think that's one thing I've really enjoyed is just had this idea and people rallied around it, supported it. I think also having a mentor, someone that you can kind of bounce ideas off of, and again, just sort of for your own growth or when things get tough, you just need somebody to talk to. I think that's important for student leaders to have maybe someone a kind of been there, done that, or just sort of a more experienced sounding board. I think having mentors and being a mentor when possible is a really important aspect of getting involved.
Thank you very much for that, Daniel. And now, what were your thoughts when you learned that you had won a Tricolor Award?
It was really exciting. Funny enough, I was we have a club sort of storage space in the new J Dock, and so my hands were full with like a box or two like of unloading club supplies, and I got the call from it showed a Queen's number, and so I just like I, that's kind of just fitting that this endeavor that I've really invested a lot of time and energy and resources into for 4 years, among other involvements I've had around campus, but I was still kind of doing the work when Nikki called and told me. But yeah, it was really just an honor. And it just gave me more of an appreciation too of just the people that took the time to I mean, just to sit down and write a letter in support of me. That really just they don't have to do that. So that was really meaningful. Yeah, it was just really, and this is my last semester at Queen's too, so I'm graduating this summer with my PhD, and so it was just like really a humbling, just proud moment of like, wow, this is sort of a just an honor to be receiving on sort of the tail end of things.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else to add before we close today, Daniel?
No, that's all. Just again, just a thank you to all the people who've been a part of my experience here at Queens. A thank you to Queens. Yeah, I've just had a wonderful time here, and it's really just been I've been so happy to be able to contribute to the community and be a part of it.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Daniel, and huge congratulations upon your win of the Tricolor Award and also your impending convocation and completion of your PhD studies at Queen's.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Donna.
And thank you to Daniel Reddy and each of this year's Tricolor Society inductees for sitting down to chat with us about their achievements alongside Queen's University Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale. This year's inductees will be honored on March 27th at the University Club here at Queen's University. Learn more and keep up with the latest by following at Queen's Rector on Instagram. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Campus Beat right here at CFRC 101.9 FM, proudly serving Queens and Kingston since 1922. I'm Dinah Jansen.
seems today that all you hear is old country singers and boring rap beats. But where are those good old radio programs that we all used to enjoy? Lucky you've got Bangers with Claire. Lucky there's a show at Saturdays at 10 with all the things that make you dance and smile. It's Bangers with Claire. Go stream Bangers with Claire Saturdays at 10 on CFRC.
Hey, this is Laura Jane Grace from Against Me, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Hello and welcome. I hope your Tuesday morning has been going well. You are listening to 101.9 CFRC. I'm Izzy, and this is our secret. I am really, really excited for this week. I think I lined up some fun ones. But